Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Is our Today's Issues Facebook page fixed?
It is not, and it's actually not our problem. It's Facebook's problem.
Blame other people, do we, Walker?
Well, Facebook has crashed.
Are you serious?
Wait a second. We crashed Facebook?
We did. Too many viewers at one time.
You're talking about Facebook
about delusional.
And Facebook.
I cannot access Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah.
See if you can on your computer screen, Ed.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to look over here.
Well, that's the app. I'm talking about the
internet.
Okay, this
y'all
is...
pardon us, listeners.
So Ed's...
Listeners, pardon us while we see what we got going on here over there. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, let's see. All right, this is one of our employees. I used his login, so let me go ahead and see if today's issues.
Yeah, see if today's issues. What if we're being targeted like Marsha Blackburn was?
Yeah, today's issues. AFR. Let me see.
Steve, yeah, go ahead.
No, this is showing.
Steve Jordan.
You may have to reboot your computer.
Would you do a little background crooning for us here?
We're on my computer. It may just be his computer.
It's Walker's computer.
Pizza pie, that's amore.
Okay, don't.
You do the Italian stereotype thing.
It was on my mind.
Okay.
Hey, I'm either a mobster, a boxer, or a ditch digger. Hey, you guess what ethnic group I am.
Or a cook. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We failed to introduce properly, formally, Steve Jordahl, who's with OneNewsNow.com.
I was stressing big time over that.
Well, over what? Facebook being down?
No, over not being introduced properly or formally or whatever it is.
Oh, you were stressing over
that? Oh, man, I sit over sweating.
I don't think you were, Steve. you were singing joyfully right there. Little Dean Martin music.
Although I will say I do not see today's.
They're having trouble.
Yeah.
Somewhere in their system. So
Facebook is?
Yeah, yes. Because yesterday's is up, but I don't see
Marsha Blackburn actually broke Facebook as well as Twitter and everything else. So.
Yeah. So we don't know what the problem is.
Not sure. But what is the problem?
I'll get the stories up as soon as I have access.
Okay, but you haven't had access for an hour, right?
That's right. That's correct.
To our Today's Issues Facebook page. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll see what happens there. Meantime, the world continues to rotate.
It does.
And Steve Jordahl is in with us. Steve, let's talk first about the NFL. What do you know?
Depending on who you listen to, it's either almost over, this Kneelgate thing, or we're about to get neck deep in it. So Roger Goodell has said that everybody should stand for the national anthem. That's the edict, and that based on that, I'm sorry.
For those who don't know who is
he, your mic's off.
You got to stop pushing that yellow.
I'm sorry.
When you talk.
For those who don't know, who don't follow the NFL, Roger Goodell.
He is the commissioner of the NFL. He's the big boss man.
Okay.
And he's saying everybody should stand. And Donald Trump and others who support him say, look, a victory. Donald Trump won. It's over. Everybody's going to stand, and probably pretty much everybody's going to stand. But now we have other groups coming in. An ESPN host, I think it was Michael Wilbon, has said that Jerry Jones, who has dictated first that his Dallas Cowboys would stand, is a slave owner, talking about having his people on the plantation.
Who said that?
Michael Wilbon. Now, Michael Wilbon is an opinion guy on he's host of a show, the sports show on ESPN, and he's kind of an opinion guy. So it's not, I don't know if they're going to differentiate between that and someone like sports anchor Jemele Hill, I think was her name.
Are there any conservatives at ESPN? They all left.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, they all got fired. Like,
well, Kurt Schilling, like Kurt Schilling and everything.
Fired.
Yeah, so Michael Wilbon.
He didn't actually.
He was co-host.
He implied that he was like. He said the word that comes to mind is plantation,
right.
Which is implying that he's a slave.
Jerry Jones talking about.
Yeah. So I don't know whether he's a if they will take action against him because he is an opinion guy. He's paid to give his opinion. Maybe they will take that into consideration.
Well, Curt Schilling couldn't give his.
No. Well, no,
on his own time.
And on his own time. ESPN, complete double standard.
And the other thing that you might want to talk about today is that the NAACP has come out and said that the Cowboys are violating the constitutional rights of their players.
How?
By making them stand, by not letting them express their opinion.
Well, that is just ignorance. The Constitution prohibits the government from interfering with your free speech rights. Mm-hmm. The Constitution does not address what your boss tells you to do. I mean, you know, if someone here, working here, wanted to protest, oh, they're going to take a knee during work hours and they're going to protest. they're gonna protest one of our positions.
About spewed my coffee.
We could fire them.
Take a knee during what?
Yeah, during work hours.
Well, let's imagine a different situation. Suppose you work at McDonald's, and instead of taking an order and helping the customer at the register, you wanted to stand out front and hold a pro-life sign,
right?
And say that McDonald's is
there. You get fired.
Sorry, my friend.
When you
clock out at 5, go get your little sign.
Exactly.
And have
that's a bunch of garbage by the NAACP because these are men who are being paid millions of dollars to wear a uniform and throw a ball around. Okay?
Right.
And they're on the clock.
And that that really damages the NAACP. I mean, just from a strictly legal standpoint, that is so out of whack.
Yeah.
Well, and then they call Jerry Jones, basically calling him a slave owner.
That's not the NAACP.
I know that's the ESPN guy.
Well, this is I've said this many times. So for those three people who are listening that haven't heard me say this, Roger Goodell and NFL too late.
Yeah.
This is now going to blow up in your face. You should have jumped on this.
It's blowing up
last preseason, not this preseason. Yeah. Last year, 2016 preseason, when Colin Kaepernick knelt during the playing of the national anthem in a preseason game and said, "My reason for doing it is I'm not going to stand for a flag that represents oppression and racial injustice." Right. That's when the NFL should have gotten on top of this. Now that this is spread. Believe it or not, one hockey player now has raised a fist in support. So this is spreading. There's been college players who have been booted off teams. Mm-hmm. This is spreading, and it is, in my opinion, too late for the NFL. I think they're going to get all kinds of blowback, and this is going to explode in Roger Goodell's
I know
face.
We talk, and maybe not on this program, but our network often talks to Dan Gaynor of Media Research Center. I talk to him also with what I do on my regular job across the street. And he says the NFL is never going to recover from this. He's a big NFL fan. I don't know if they will or not.
Let me just say this. The NFL, I'm a college football guy myself, but the NFL is a behemoth. All right.
Yep.
It's a $13 billion industry? I mean, this you're talking a lot
it
of money.
It is billions.
Huh?
It's billions.
It's not going away. All right. I think what's the old saying? The death is rumored.
Rumors of my death are highly over.
Greatly exaggerated.
The rumors of the death of the NFL are greatly exaggerated, in my opinion.
But right? I'll finish
my thought.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Just one thought. Yeah. But I will say this, it only takes 5 to 10% of the fan base of the NFL to get disgusted, and I think that has happened. And that will cost them billions of dollars. Players will get paid less. Teams will make less. This will all take full impact next fall because season ticket sales will be reduced. They'll either be hard to sell out or they'll have to come down on their prices, okay, to sell out. They may still sell out, but they'll come down on their prices. And more importantly, the advertising rates on television will drop dramatically for the NFL product, and that will hurt them greatly. So I think the full damage of what these players have done and what the NFL has allowed to happen will be felt next fall. Go ahead.
Well, and I was just going to say that sometimes with sports, there is an ebb and flow. I don't know if you remember this, but the NBA, their popularity in the 70s going into the 80s had plummeted by the time Larry Bird and Magic Johnson came on the scene. And my understanding is, just historically speaking, that Bird Magic, you know, the Celtics and the Lakers back. Rivalry brought the NFL back. Yeah, I mean, the NBA back.
It did.
Saved them. So you could see the NFL popularity plummet for a while. There could be costs, and then something will boost. Well, like you said, you've said before, players stop going to, fans stop going to the team's games until they go on a 3-game win streak.
If they're going to follow the NBA model, though, they're going to have come up with a Bird Johnson kind of rivalry or something to bring it back.
Well,
do you remember the Dream Team, the NBA Dream Team that went to the Olympics in 92? By any standard stretch of the imagination, over any period of basketball, I don't know that you could have found 10 guys that were more superstars at quality ball players in that team. It was an amazing team, the best team ever put together of any sport, I think. But that's the kind of that's where the NBA went after its downtrodden part of the 70s. It came back with these amazing players.
Hey, Fred Jackson, did you need to tell our listeners something, Fred? You stepped into the room.
What did I say? Did I say something wrong? No, back
we don't know what Fred's going to say. He just stepped into the room here.
Well, the big question was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell listening to the conversation in the last half hour. Breaking news. Associated Press, McConnell promises to speed pace on judicial nominees. Remember our Abe Hamilton was just talking about the blue slip rule? McConnell just announced he's getting rid of that.
Well, praise the Lord.
Good.
Let's clap for Mitch McConnell right now. I know we want to say about time.
And we did talk about this earlier, 30 minutes ago. Right. But we've been talking about this through press releases and emails for 3 weeks now.
You know, we wield a lot of power and we right here on this show. And so you just tell call Senate Majority Leader.
Mitch McConnell,
and tell him we'll give him his next step.
And you tell you call North Korean leader Kim Jong Un, tell him he's next.
He's next.
Actually,
hey, you know, in all seriousness, that is a very good move by McConnell, and I think that is the pressure from the masses out here. President Trump, what Steve Bannon's been saying, I think has caused Mitch McConnell to move on that. That's very good because that'll help get the president's judges through.
Exactly.
Good for him.
Good job.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks.
Wow, that's big news, Walker.
That is very, very, very big news. And McConnell's been under pressure. I mean, obviously, we sat here for 30 minutes and criticized him justifiably.
Mm-hmm.
And if he'll just do things like this, these are good things.
Yes.
These are good things for our country.
Yes.
So that's good to hear.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. That is our email address here for American Family Radio. We'll see what happens with the NFL. But Jerry Jones, the NFL leader,
Roger Goodell is the – actually, it's not Roger Goodell anymore. It's the commissioner of the NFL.
Commissioner of the NFL has said in a letter to owners yesterday that all players should stand for the national anthem. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. We'll find out.
Well, they're meeting in New York next week, so that is supposedly high on the agenda list for the ownership.
It is
what you do. What you do is you fire a couple of these players.
It is Goodell still. I'm sorry.
That's what you do. You tell him you stand for the national anthem or you're not getting paid. And if they want to choose to stand for the national anthem, they can stand at their house. I mean, they can kneel at their house.
Well,
and do a press conference at their pool, or in front of their
Lamborghini.
In front of their $1.5 million home.
Yeah, let them do the protest there.
Now, I think we should mention too that what Roger Goodell has done, what the NFL has done in releasing this, is they said the NFL stands behind its players, and we will give every opportunity for players to have their say, just not during the national anthem. So
that is a good policy.
That's
fair. That's America.
Yeah, you can speak. We'll even the NFL may even kick in and try to help solve some promises
from their mansion.
Tell me we're not going to have another ribbon we have to wear at some point in time, another color ribbon, please.
Oh man, so we'll see what happens with that. But the backlash by the American public against this protest, what this all started with Colin Kaepernick, he's protesting America.
Yes,
he's protesting the country,
and it's that vague.
Huh?
It's just that vague.
Yeah.
Now they're protesting Trump.
I'm protesting America. Well, yeah, because Trump entered into it here during the preseason.
So if they want to go on, the NFL's trying to rein this thing in, and because they see that they're potentially going to lose billions of dollars and lose their product. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, to the program, Today's Issues. What's next, Steve Jordahl?
There was a young lady, 17 years old, who came across the border illegally, and turns out she is pregnant. She's about 14 weeks pregnant right now. And the ACLU is demanding on her behalf that the government take her to an abortion clinic and get an abortion. The young woman wants the abortion, she says. And so the ACLU, even though this girl is in Texas, the ACLU is appealing to the court in San Francisco, federal court in San Francisco, to try to get the government to take this girl mm-hmm. to an abortion clinic and pay for the abortion. Now, they already do have a case in motion in San Francisco, which is probably why they thought they could go there. But the real reason, of course, is because they thought they'd get a favorable ruling from the Ninth Circuit. So they want the government to pay for this. Now, the government has taken this lady already for health and pregnancy screening. They just happened to take her to a crisis pregnancy center, a pro-life center. That didn't do at all for the ACLU. That was bad. In fact, they first brought this charge up on the threat of religious separation of church and state until they were told, no, the government isn't a church, so you can't really do that. So they're trying to get this girl to an abortion clinic so she can have an abortion.
That's a sad situation that you have a young lady, did you say 16 years old?
She's 17 now.
17, who has bearing a child in the country illegally. The last thing, she does need to be taken to a crisis pregnancy center and given, usually that's pro bono help there.
It is
but
always.
As far as the government subsidizing an abortion...
Well, we've got laws against that, too.
Right, and so that's very questionable.
Yeah, I agree. Her name is Rochelle Garza. Now, let me just say that she is from Central America somewhere. It doesn't say that she's from Mexico.
Right.
If she's from Guatemala, it could be that she's taken more than 14 weeks to get up here and that maybe she was maybe she was raped on the way up here because it does happen.
Right.
Frequently to these yes. poor unaccompanied minors. Now, I'm not saying that means she should get the abortion, mm-hmm. but it enters into the conversation that...
She needs, right now, she needs a local church to come alongside her and help her in that pregnancy, deliver that child, and maybe put it up for adoption. There are thousands, if not millions, of parents out there who cannot have children who would do anything... to have a child yeah. of their own. So that's, that's unfortunate, especially that the ACLU's probably drug her into that,
So Attorney General of Texas Ken Paxton made a strong statement saying that the ruling, if the court rules in the girls or in the ACLU's favor, the ruling will create a right to abortion for anyone on earth who enters the U.S. illegally. And with that right, countless others undoubtedly will follow. Texas must not become a sanctuary state for abortions.
Now, this is a question we talked about, an issue we talked about during our story meeting this morning.
Yeah.
And I think I saw you talking to Abe Hamilton.
Yeah.
What is the deal here if the Ninth Circuit, which has no jurisdiction over Texas,
right?
Why does Texas have to follow the Ninth Circuit's ruling?
Well, the Texas doesn't have to. The ACLU is taking this case to San Francisco to get it into the Ninth. Everybody, the open secret is they want it in the Ninth because the Ninth Circuit is much more likely
right.
to grant their
they're
position.
Liberal.
They're liberal. But they already have a case against the HHS over what kind of health services the government should be giving to illegal immigrants. So they're hoping to fold this in with that so they can get into the knife. Now, according to Abe, and I was talking with him about this right before we went on the air this half hour, they shouldn't be able to do that. That should be illegal, but that's what they're trying to do.
In other words, there should be no way that the Ninth Circuit can tell Texas what to do.
That's correct.
Because right. Texas has an appellate.
They're in the 10th,
yes.
I believe.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, yeah.
Well, but this goes back to the issue when this federal district judge in Hawaii ruled against Trump's, I call it the travel ban. You know, it's not a technical ban, but
right.
but anyway, that's what the way everyone refers to it. And this federal district judge in Hawaii said this applies to the entire nation. And I you know, to this day, you know, wonder why does a district judge think he has the authority to do that?
Well,
the rest of the country should say, well, your ruling has nothing to do with.
I don't remember. Do you remember if that Hawaii judge was slapped down by the Supreme Court?
Yes, he was. He was twice. He was twice. And then last night.
I think
so. Okay.
And then last night, the Supreme Court said, we're not even hearing any more of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was corrected.
Oh, good.
He was corrected.
They try to, you know, throw their weight around.
What's happened is over the decades, and I don't know what case this started and what year it was, but at some point. It hasn't always been this way in the U.S. court system where federal judges can apply their rulings to the entire U.S. The Constitution is not set up that way. That's why you have district. That's why you have districts.
Well, Congress is the one. The only court, federal court authorized by the Constitution is the Supreme Court.
Right.
And then it gives Congress the constitutional authority to set up additional federal courts. So Congress should just simply make a regulation or a law, I'm not sure what it would be called, and say, your jurisdiction is your jurisdiction. That's
well,
it.
Well, your jurisdiction really, traditionally and constitutionally, is only supposed to apply to the parties involved in the case.
Well, but in the geographical area that you have right. authority over.
Yeah.
So a district judge in Hawaii, his ruling should apply to that district.
Right.
But
traditionally, though, that's just precedent.
I want to get to an Italian file story. Could we do that? Because
yes.
I do this for Ed.
Ed and I are in the weeds of yeah. legal federal judicial
This
system.
Is from the Italian Files.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Now, that's the kind of ethnic stereotyping I do not mind.
Well, good, because there's some more coming here.
Dean Martin.
Dateline North Tonawanda, New York. Parents of children found bullying other minors could face jail time under a new law approved by that Western New York community.
What in the world's that got to do with Italians?
Oh, come on now. You know bullies at school.
Oh,
it sounds mafia to me, so that's
hey, listen,
why it has to
I
do
had
with
to fight
Italians.
My way through. I had
that,
to fight
was
my way
a,
through.
That was just an excuse to be able to use that song.
But, so parents
Which
can be fined.
So
like
Italians, are we victims or are we the perpetrators? What are you saying?
I'm not saying anything that might get me in trouble with you.
It could be Italian.
It's too late for that, Steve, I assure you.
Could be Italian on Italian bullying.
So just let me give you the fines here. Parents could be fined $250 and sentenced to 15 days in jail if twice in a 90-day period their child violates the bullying laws, anti-bullying laws.
That's stupid. My goodness. I mean, what are you going to have parents? You're going to have kids wanting to get even with their parents.
It sounds.
And they're going to get their parents thrown in jail, and then they're going to party while their parents are in.
It sounds Italian to me.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
Said,
we're going to have some
you
guidelines.
You just said that's stupid.
Yes, that law is stupid.
I'm over here trying to figure out creative metaphors to explain things, and you just go straight. That's stupid.
Keep it simple, Ed.
Stupid is as stupid does.
That's next story. That's stupid, Ed says. Next story. Okay.
Well, you know us Italians.
Yeah. Just right to the point, right? All right, we shall see you back here tomorrow, folks, for another edition of Today's Issues. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Take care.